We're going to pick up in verse number 15. The Bible says, "Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon. For it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is a jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causeth the curse." We're going to pause here. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because the Bible says here that he's going to uncover the woman's head. Now, from looking at other passages in Scripture, you can understand what this means. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. When the Bible talks about uncovering someone's hair, it's talking about not having hair. When it covers uncovering their head, it's not talking about taking off a hat. Okay, we don't believe in the bonnets and the head coverings here. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's very clear from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's talking about a man's head being covered, talking about his hair, a woman's head being covered, talking about her hair. And when it's uncovered, it's because they don't have the hair there to cover it. Verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible reads, "But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." And going through this process is obviously, it's a shameful process from the beginning. If a man is jealous over his wife and there's cause for jealousy, you know, I would say, wives, if you find your husband acting jealous, maybe you should check yourself. Because it's usually not going to be causeless. There's usually a reason for that jealousy. And I know what we live in 2022 and you know, the women's rights and all this other stuff, but that's not what the Bible teaches at all. We already went over this. If you've been here since the beginning, hearing the preaching from the other preachers, great subjects, great sermons. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, turn there if you'd like, Proverbs chapter 7, why do I say check yourself? Because I found that the vast majority of time, when you have a jealous husband, you're usually going to find a loud, obnoxious wife. When you have a husband acting jealous, you're usually going to find a loud, stubborn woman on the other side. And that's why. Why? Because she's drawing this attention to herself from a bunch of other guys. You're going to find someone who's immodest. You're going to find somebody who's out there and getting really friendly with a lot of other people. Whether she's committing an act or not, she's going around and doing this stuff. And you know what? It's ungodly and wicked. Yeah. It's wrong.
Right.
The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 10, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." It doesn't even say that this woman was a harlot, but she was dressed like a harlot. "She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house." So there we see some characteristics of this woman who goes out and just finds some random guy, this simple man who's walking by and just, you know, entices him to come and lay with her and just commit sin. And these are the attributes of a woman like that. She's dressing like a hooker and she's loud and stubborn and her feet don't abide at home. And so she's given plenty of opportunity if she's married for her husband to start thinking and getting jealous. But hey, what's going on? But what does people run with? Oh, well, you should just trust me more. Look, it has nothing to do with trust. It has to do with people, you know, take heed lest you fall. It has to do with being wise. It has to do with not just even all that, but how about the woman, you know, caring about her husband enough to make sure that she could avoid even the appearance of evil. Flip over, you're in Proverbs 7, just flip over to the last proverb, Proverbs 31, we see the virtuous woman. You know, a virtuous woman's not going to provoke her husband to jealousy. Proverbs 31, verse 10, the Bible reads, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And you continue on reading there, it's going to give you a lot more attributes of the hardworking, virtuous woman. You know where her place is? At home. Amen. She's taking care of her household. She's making sure they're fed and clothed and that all their needs are being met at home. She's not wandering about house to house, being idle, tattler, busybody, loud, obnoxious, stubborn. Of course, this is the opposite of the modern masculist movement today. It's not feminist. It's masculist. It's a misnomer. I mean, they're trying to make women more like men. The feminist movement is trying to make women like men. That's why it's masculist. They're trying to make women more masculine by saying, go out and get a job, provide for your family, go work. That's the masculine thing to do. Well, you're not equal unless you do everything a man does. So you just want women to be more like men? How about women be more like women and men be more like men? We have enough problem with the men being pansies and becoming too feminine these days. And men, step it up, because you don't need the women becoming more masculine. It's the last thing you need.